That's right. It's time for the Daily Line here on the download. 720 WGN, thedailyline.net, covers everything from the city politics to the county politics to, of course, state politics. They join us every Wednesday. Heather Sharone, who is the managing editor, is on the line. And AD Quigg, one of the reporters in studio tonight. AD, Heather, thanks for being here. There we go.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So why don't we start with you, Heather? Why don't we start with the news that I guess is breaking, even though it's kind of a little bit chaotic and confusing. Both the House and the Senate are in session as we speak. One that's talking about a budget, the other talking about the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. Talk about what's happening in Springfield.
Well, we think there's a deal for a budget, which is very different than where we've been at the end of May for the last 2 years. And it doesn't include any tax hikes, which I guess is good news because the last one did. And it does include about $53 million for upgrades at the Quincy Veterans Home, which is where those 13 people died from a bacteria, Legionnaire's disease, in the water. So we still haven't had a vote yet because, as you said, the Illinois House is debating whether to pass the Equal Rights Amendment. And in the Senate, I believe the last I checked, they were talking about a gun control measure, which I believe has just moved forward.
Okay, let me ask you this. So it has to go through the Senate, and then the House would vote on something tomorrow when we talk about the budget. The ERA, the ratifying of that, the Equal Rights Amendment would be just through the House. The Senate already did that months ago.
But if
the budget gets through the Senate, which there have been reports that the Senate is coming back tomorrow, so it may not even be brought up tonight. But this idea that it would have to move pretty quick to the House for it to beat the deadline, which is tomorrow at midnight.
Right. So we expect the House to vote tonight. We expected a vote earlier tonight, but the debate on the Equal Rights Amendment has pushed everything back. They're in what is candidly known as unlimited debate, which means anybody can get up and talk. And we've seen some very emotional testimony about what the adoption of the Equal Rights Amendment would mean to various members, both for and against.
All right. Well, that, of course, we're paying attention to that, and we'll keep you updated on what happens, because really the big news, AD, will be tomorrow as we see the governor has cleared his schedule. And it's from all you know, indication, it does seem that the governor is okay with this, that he is okay with the Republican part of this bipartisan agreement for a budget.
Right. There was some debate as to whether he would hold this up again as a sign of, I'm going to keep fighting Mike Madigan because we need a budget and we need to get rid of this income tax and I need to fight. But it seems like it's on the safer side for him to say, we've got a budget. I'm no longer a no budget governor, especially heading into 2018.
Yeah. Heather, why don't we shift gears as we, you know, we're looking at, of course, you know, obviously education plays a big role in what's happening with the budget and higher education is being talked about. But really the headline stolen today by a fight between the union, Chicago Teachers Union and the Chicago Public Schools over competing commercials. Is that what this is about? As they look to set the record straight through 30-second ads?
That's right. So earlier this month, a group called Progress Chicago, which is funded by several people who have donated to Mayor Rahm Emanuel, put together an ad that features CPS CEO Janice Jackson talking about what great stuff is happening at Chicago schools. And while it never mentions the mayor, saying that things are going well in the schools is sort of an implicit way of saying, hey, why would we get rid of this great mayor who's doing all of this great stuff? The Chicago Teachers Union, not a big fan of Mayor Rahm Emanuel, so they put together a 30-second rebuttal ad that notes that Janice Jackson is his fifth CEO, and one of them is currently in federal prison for ripping off Chicago taxpayers. So the union made it clear that they don't want to see Rahm Emanuel elected in 2019, and they don't think it's appropriate for him to be campaigning on success in Chicago schools when he says the union says it's very clear that the record is at best mixed.
And there's some questions, and Lori Lightfoot has brought this up and wants an investigation into whether or not this group, Progress Chicago, which is a fundraising arm essentially for the mayor's re-election campaign, should be using the CPS CEO in any sort of advertising.
Right. She says it's overtly political for her to be used this way, even though there's no direct mention of 2019 and Mayor Emanuel. And this is interesting because I was wondering if Progress Chicago would stick to schools issues. And last week, they put out a statement congratulating the mayor on passing the Obama Presidential Center through City Council. So early on, they've only been around for a month, and they're already kind of striking out and talking about all these other issues that will be big in 2019.
So is that what they are? I mean, Progress Chicago is a not-for-profit that raises money for the mayor? I mean, is that how it works?
Well, they're an issues group, so they are allowed to spend at this point pretty much whatever they want, and they don't necessarily have to reveal a lot of details about where their money
is
coming from.
PAC.
However,
like a local super PAC, right?
Huh. Right. So we do know, however, that they are funded in part by Michael Sachs, who is Rahm Emanuel's biggest donor and, you know, is somebody who clearly wants to see the mayor reelected in 2019. And, you know, Rahm Emanuel faced a lot of questions back in 2015 about the closures of schools and sort of how he was handling the school district. And, you know, there was the teacher strike and all of those questions. It's clear that Progress Chicago sees the issue of education as sort of something that the mayor has to deal with to get to reelection. And of course, we saw him today announce that the city would create free full day preschool for 4 year olds over the next 4 years.
Yeah. And we can expect to see CTU driving back that issue. This week, we also had reports coming out about the impact of the 2013 school closings on these kids and how detrimental it was, setting these kids back by 2 or 3 months on their achievement. And we're going to see CTU hitting on that issue. And also, we have a series of corrupt CEOs and also members of the Chicago Board of Education.
So, yeah, so essentially a referendum on the mayor and how he has dealt with education this season as mayor. Heather Sharon and AD Quigg are here. It's the Daily Line, dailyline.net. They join us every Wednesday on the download. Let's take a break and then come back, talk summer violence. And downtown alderman wants more police on the lakefront. We'll talk about these Wilden groups and the way that the police have corralled them to train stations. And also, what I don't think the police gets enough credit for, what I thought to be a more positive story in Memorial Day weekend. We'll have more of that coming up here, so stay with us. It's a Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. AD Quigg and Heather Sharon are with us from the Daily Line. They join us every Wednesday night here on 720 WGN to talk all things state, county, and Chicago politics. Let's talk Chicago this summer. Of course, summer violence is on everybody's mind. Memorial Day weekend, 7 dead, 32 shot, which I sound so cynical when I say this, but that sounds like a pretty good number. You know, and I know that sounds terrible coming out of anyone's mouth that 32 people were shot, but just a couple weeks before, I think the number was 90, 95. Usually around a Memorial Day weekend, you get numbers that are much higher. Am I looking at this the wrong way to say the Chicago Police Department should get a positive story for effectively controlling summer violence on a big summer weekend?
I mean, anyone would say someone getting shot is bad, someone being killed is bad. But any news is good news, I guess. And it's such a hard battle because nice summer weather brings out a lot more people than usual, and a lot more people means more potential for conflict.
Heather?
Well, I was just going to say that Eddie Johnson was asked that question, and he basically said, look, I'll celebrate when there are, you know, are zero shootings and zero murders. But there's no doubt that it was a different level of gun violence. And I think that that's something that city officials saw and breathed a sigh of relief, because last year, you know, the New York Times sent a whole reporting team to chronicle violence over Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, there's nothing that gets the mayor's goat more than national attention on violence and that sort of thing.
Now, that being said, the Memorial Day weekend also brought out some bad headlines for this area, particularly around where we're broadcasting the Mag Mile, the lakefront. Alderman Riley today stepped out and said he wants more police presence on the lakefront and the beaches because there was a lot of skirmish and fights. Of course, we've been talking about the wild and the teens that come downtown and how you control these mass crowds of 100 plus kids that are down here causing trouble. There's a lot that's going into that today. This story is coming up. What is your take on how the police are dealing with what Heather has become somewhat of a Memorial Day tradition. These kids that come down and I guess a summer tradition in the fact that it seems to happen year after year.
That's right. And, you know, these groups, police say, are sort of gathering via social media. You know, somebody texts somebody else, somebody posts something else on Snapchat. And then all of a sudden you've got 100, you know, kids sort of outside Water Tower, which is what happened at one point this weekend. And, you know, some aldermen have been less than complimentary about how they've been handling that, because instead of, you know, arresting people who are committing acts of vandalism or otherwise defying police orders, they've been sort of shuttling these groups onto train lines and getting them out of downtown. That, you know, they sent a bunch of Red Line trains express from Chicago to 35th to sort of diffuse the problem. The Tribune had a very good story that detailed sort of what happened when the group got off of the train. It sort of moved the problem, you know, to the south side. And there's really a question of, you know, if that's the right way to handle it. Are you, you know, sort of solving a problem, or are you just sort of pushing it elsewhere in the city, perhaps where there are fewer eyes, fewer cameras, maybe, you know, less attention from news media types like us, right?
Yeah, Justin? And I give them a little bit of credit. I have to say it's a creative way to deal with a problem that usually ends with mass arrests for charges that don't stick and things that have we've talked about other things. So for the police being creative in the way of working with the CTA to move these crowds, to corral these crowds into express trains, there is something to be said about that.
Yeah, and it's hard to pinpoint who the troublemaker is when it's a group of 100 people and you only have a certain number of cops, and those cops can make a certain number of arrests, which also involves processing. And, you know, taking one cop off the street while they're handling an arrest means you have fewer eyes on these other big crowds. More cops is something that every alderman calls for around the summer. It's an annual tradition from Alderman Brendan Riley. He is very concerned about lakefront Mag Mile safety, but if you Google Brendan Riley crime, you will find every summer he says, we need more cops, we need more cops, we need more cops.
Right.
And it's the same for a lot of Northside aldermen who are saying, we're seeing a rise in crime, we're seeing teenagers who, quote, aren't from here coming around our neighborhoods and they shouldn't be here.
And I don't know what the numbers are, but just from anecdotally walking up and down Michigan Avenue at lunchtime or dinner time before doing the show here, there is police presence, unlike anywhere else in the city. You'll have two stationed police officers at Ontario and Ohio. There definitely is a police presence down here to protect this area because it's so heavy in tourism and merchant.
Yeah, and we've already seen the ACLU and other criminal justice groups saying we shouldn't pre-criminalize these teenage kids just for being in groups and being downtown. And this kind of goes to a broader a broader discussion we're having right now.
Carjacking stuff,
but also how police are utilized around the city and what the perception of crime is, and also illustrates this kind of tightrope that the mayor has to walk, saying, you know, I'm tough on crime, but I'm also cognizant that we shouldn't be criminalizing these young black youth, and we should also be focusing on economic development for some of these kids who, you know, there was a woman in the Chicago Tribune article that Heather referred to saying these kids have nothing else to do, and that's why they're down here creating problems.
And it's not new. This is something that
it's a summer.
We remember, and I may even predate both of you in the sense that I think it was the U.S. Supreme Court that came down and said that the anti-loitering plan that Mayor Daley had back in the 90s, where he had essentially said if anyone got together with more than three people on a stoop, that the police had the right to kick them off. This was in an effort to stop groups of kids getting together, whether it be in the neighborhood or downtown. So this is something the city of Chicago has dealt with for decades.
Right. And, you know, it's a very fine line that officers have to walk because, and city officials, because if they don't, you know, stop a sort of a gathering like this from sort of turning into something more serious where people get hurt and injured, it has the potential to, you know, turn into a major incident. And, you know, like I said before, the last thing any city official wants is headlines about how dangerous Chicago was, especially downtown, you know, on a major holiday weekend. And we saw the mayor sort of focus on that earlier this spring when he announced that there would be additional patrols assigned to the Riverwalk, which has become sort of, you know, a whole new sort of gathering place. But there was a very serious stabbing incident last summer that, you know, threatened, as, and I think it was either Brendan Riley or Brian Hopkins, alderman, said, you know, we can't let this Riverwalk get a reputation for being somewhere you don't want to be after dark, because that will undo all of the sort of economic development efforts that the city has really, you know, paid a lot of money to set up.
Very interesting. Heather Sharone and A.D. Quigg from The Daily Line. You can find their work at thedailyline.net, covering all things city, county, and state politics. Also, the podcast is back starting Friday. A.D., you've got an interview with?
Soon-to-be assessor Fritz Kagi, talking about assessments.
There you go.
They're the best.
If you're gonna, I always say this to anyone, aspiring podcasters out there, if you're going to have a premiere episode, it should be about assessments.
Yep, property taxes.
That's right. That's what I always say. Heather, A.D., thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Justin.